I was thinking about what I would share with you this evening, and I came across this quote from Pema Chodron. A lot of people have been reading her book, When Things Fall Apart, and this quote really caught my eyes on many of you have been touching on. I want to share this quote with you and invite you to reflect on it, to make use of I'll read the quote first. To be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. To live fully is to be always in no man's land. To experience each moment as completely new and fresh. To live is to be willing to die over and over again. The last sentence. To live is to be willing to die over and over again. That's not how we usually live. She is inviting us to come up with the courage to be fully human, to really live, to really live in a wakeful way. I'd like to invite you to reflect on the first thing she mentioned in this quote, the nest. If you've ever seen a nest, like a bird nest, she's referring to here the nest that we need to be allowing ourselves to be continually thrown out of. It's referring to the world as we see it, and the niche, the little space, the little safe haven we have built and found for ourselves, and believe that it is ours. This is my little safe place, and that I've worked hard to build, and assume and believe and plan to live there forever. That's our plan. We work hard to build this because this is the way I want to be able to have this. Now, she used the word nest is quite interesting. You might like to think about birds. If you ever watch birds build nest, they kind of not like, oh, I really just need to glue these sticks together because I'm planning for it to last a millennium, like they just kind of pile the thing together, pick up whatever they can find, and just it's good enough because I just need to lay the eggs for this time, and then they hatch and then they go away. I don't need the nest anymore. But they work really hard. Go back and forth, build your nest. If you ever watch bird building their nest. But they know the nest won't last together forever. Just for this round of eggs, and then they move on. Do we know what we have built that we call our life to? It's like this nest. It's temporary. Just for the purpose of this moment, this phase, this time, the situation we are in? Or do we not know? We are blindly believing that I'm trying to build something with concrete wall around it so that I can keep something in this constantly changing world unchanged. In other words, you might have heard the teaching of impermanence many times. It's like, oh yes, I know everything is impermanent. I know that everything out there is impermanent. But secretly, secretly, we want and wish that this little thing that I build, that's our life, that I work so hard, if I work hard enough, then I can build something that's exempt from impermanence. My life, my little niche in this world. I'd like to invite you to reflect on that and contemplate whether there is some secret wish, belief that it will work. Maybe I find a trick to do that. It's like thinking I can be lucky. I will just buy one more lottery ticket. I will get that. I hit that jackpot. That kind of thinking. And I'd like to invite you to reflect on this nest, this life. We don't think about. We just take it for granted. But underlying that, we believe that it is something that we can rely on to be there forever. So think about it. Think about it. What makes up our world, our life, the life that we think is ours? Of course, the first thing has to do with our physical condition. Right? So, and our health, that we have this belief that if I exercise and eat healthy, I can just keep being like this and can keep doing whatever I'm doing. Right? And of course, we cannot keep doing what we are doing. Ask anyone who's past their 40s or maybe past their 30s, they would tell you that. But that's when talking to your elderly parent really helps you. They tell you, oh, I can no longer do this. And you laugh at them. But it's like, you should keep that in mind. That's your future. That's your future. Learn from them. They're telling you that's your future. But our current physical condition is what makes our current life possible. Our being able to move around, do things, cook for ourselves, bathe ourselves, drive to places, go to the airport to get on a flight. That makes our life possible as it is now. Of course, there's mental capacity, like whether we can remember things, whether we can think clearly, whether, of course, maybe have something to do with our mental health condition, whether we are able to maintain stability, or we're just too out of it, that we are unable to function properly. We may know people like that. I have a friend who had a very good professor job, and she lost it because of her breakdown. So the life she knew completely gone because of that. Of course, there might be all kind of deterioration that happens with age or with disease. People have MS, people have Alzheimer's, people can have all kind of things. So our mental capacity right now is causes and conditions. And of course, related to that is our material condition, financial situation, our ability to earn a living, the money we've got, the value of our possession. They seem to be worth something. The pieces of paper we have can go and get stuff. That is not for sure. Ask anyone who have ever lived in hyperinflation. Ask anyone who lost their job overnight, who fell into poverty overnight, who got evicted from their home because they can't make the next payment. Their life, as they knew it, completely turned upside down. So when we reflect on this, what we notice is that all these capacities, our physical, mental, material, financial situations, actually is what make the other part. Sometimes we think of our life as like our relationships, my family, my friends. You might think they're there, like that's my family, you know, it doesn't matter, whatever happens, they will still be my family. But the kind of relationships we can maintain with people in our life also depend on many of these conditions. For many people, especially those with children or grandchildren, not having the physical capacity to travel to see their grandchildren completely changed their life, and not being able to see each other frequently also changed your relationship. Or not being able to afford to do the things that you used to do with your family and friends. You might not notice it or choose not to think about it. There are always people in our life who decline to do things with us because they can't afford it. They're too embarrassed to admit it. We might find ourselves in that situation if our material condition change. So the relationship we have now may change. I'm not saying better, worse, different. You do different things. You can't do things together. It will not be the same kind of close relationship that you have come to cherish and value so much. And maybe you can't travel. Some people, they can't travel for family reunion. Can't afford it. Or don't have the capacity to do it physically. Here are just a few examples of things we just simply take for granted. That's my life, that's my body, my mind, my material possession, my lifestyle, my family, my friends, that's my world. That's this little niche of the world I have carved out for myself. And all I need to do is work hard to keep it together. My nest. Of course, also the state of our relationship with our loved ones. Many people is like, oh, I focus, I make sure I keep the relationship well with my family, my loved one. You are not the only person in this relationship. The other people involved in the relationship also have constantly changing conditions. Their physical or mental or financial condition may change. And meaning that they can't or don't want to do what they used to do with you anymore. Same thing again, it's like maybe your family used to travel together for the holidays and can't join it anymore. They slowly become more and more distant. And you feel that as a loss. And our relationship with them also depend on our and their worldview. How we see the world. Many of you may have experienced that. I have heard many, many practitioners over the past few years expressing a lot of suffering from the loss of relationships because of the different political view that have changed. in the last few years. Realizing that they can't, they can no longer have the same kind of conversation that is, that are the ingredients of their relationship because of what happened for many people from the last election. And as much as we want to say, oh, I'm working hard on my relationship, we're not the only conditions in this relationship. And these worldviews change. We were not born with them. Many people don't feel the way we do feel several years ago. Where did these worldviews come from? The people we hang out with, our circumstances, where we are in our society, in our economy. Just think about people around you. Think about them. People, because of what they work in, maybe people who work in finance, people who work in social services, people who are, work in knowledge production, they simply have different worldview because where they are in this structure. We like to believe we are the right one and they're the bad one, and just where we are. And when people change where they are in the structure, their view change. We like to believe, oh, people get more conservative when they grow old. This is not that simple. People can change in all kinds of ways. And your relationship with them change along the way. It can be your most important relationship. You thought you can rely on this one relationship. And then all these change. And a lot of time, people's view change because of the drastic changes all around us. Some of you have alluded to that. This week, the most important international relation between United States and China had taken a turn for the worse in an extremely drastic way. We don't know what will unfold, but we are living in a different world. We are always living in a different world, but many people's life and the view and what they think and how they feel will be shaken up by what is unfolding right now. And we thought we have built a life made of these relationships that are fixed, when all kinds of feelings and views will be shaken up, and these people that we may feel very close to and used to be able to have a very close relationship may not be the case anymore. We don't know. We don't know. What I want to convey in going to these different examples is to help you think about what we mean by impermanence and dependent origination. All these factors, everything is constantly changing, constantly changing. Like the incessant rain and wind shaking up the fragile nest made up of these little sticks and pieces of leaves or things like that by the bird. You might, I don't know, you have ever seen a bird nest being like blown over from the tree. Happens. Part of the nest get blown off. Happens all the time. Yet, we don't stop building our life. Like the bird, don't stop. Oh, like the wind is gonna blow it off anyway. I might as well just not bother. Right. We build our life. We live our life. We go to school. We find someone. Maybe we get married. We have the family. We keep our connections. Many of you talk about that. Maintain our relationship. Cultivate our capacity to live in relationship harmoniously. Take care of each other. Help each other. We work hard in our domain to take care of our finances so that we have some capacity to look after ourselves, our family, maybe help other people. But knowing full well that this nest, this life that we have built could be dismantled or blown over any time, despite our best effort. The birds were not goofing off. Worked hard, built that nest. And she talked about in this quote, "To live fully is to be always in no man's land." To be in no man's land. What's no man's land? Every moment is completely new. Wherever we are now, no one ever has been here. No man's land. No one. We have this moment has never taken place before. Now, that's not how we think at all. We have this very entrenched tendency to try to compare what's happening to some similar situation in the past. We have heard a lot of this many times. We compared to what's going on with the 1918 flu, and so, oh, and then we just kind of think, oh, okay, like, well, we kind of have some idea what's happening now, and we're gonna know what's we know what's gonna happen. Or I was just talking to my father. He just assumed what's happening in Hong Kong, now that the United States has revoked the special status that makes people's life there possible, he just assumed that it's just going to blow over like what happened after the Tiananmen Square in 1989. So, assumption we make by thinking, drawing on what happened in the past, something similar. And we do that as a habit of trying to convince ourselves or believe that we already know what's going to happen because we just can't deal with the uncertainty. Instead of being willing to see that this is no man's land, no one has ever been here, let's pay attention. We can do this. It's like, we take comfort by drawing on some idea of what happened in the past and tell ourselves that, oh, this is what it is. And the moment we do this, we stop paying attention to what is actually happening right here, right now, moment to moment. Stop being in the no man's land. To experience each moment as completely new and fresh. We're missing all kinds of what's going on. And this holding on to the idea of some other thing, our old knowledge will just be the substitute of fully experiencing the present that is brand new. Actually block our ability to be fully here. And actually generates this anxiety and tension without our knowing. Because we're holding on something that's not quite fitting what's going on, and we try very hard to fit what's going on into something else. It's a lot of effort. But we do that all the time. All the time. The last sentence that I read a couple times, to live is to be willing to die over and over again. That sounds so contradictory. I want to live, not to die. We have created this dichotomy in our mind. What is dying? Here over and over again. What's dying over and over again here is our idea of who we are supposed to be, and our idea of how our life is supposed to be. I'm going to invite you to examine all the ideas you've got about who you're supposed to be. All the time. It doesn't matter how old you are, what situation you're in. You may have a few, and you might have a fairly long list. Some examples, like, I'm the person who knows best. I'm a parent. You're my daughter. I know more than you. I'm not going to let you tell me what's going on. Or I'm the most capable person. It's like I'm young and strong and smart and, well, maybe in the group that you used to hang out with, maybe in this group, not anymore. Many of you might experience your children becoming more capable than you. Or I'm the carer. I am the person that help. I'm the person that know things and help you. I never take help. I don't do that. I'm the one that give. Idea of who we are supposed to be. An idea of how our life is supposed to be. That we have worked hard to build. Like maybe our idea that we are supposed to live independently. I pay for everything myself. No one help me. Or being someone who's the well-to-do one among my family. Whatever idea we have about how our life is supposed to be. When the world changes suddenly around us, our life change. Many people see their industry disappear and having to abandon their old profession and learn new skill. Our old way of life, all the flying all over to see our family that lives all over the time zones, doesn't seem that viable anymore. Some people find themselves having to leave behind their hometown, their friends, their family to move to a new land because of political changes or other kind of changes, disaster. To be in a different culture, speaking different language, and they have to start all over from scratch. Maybe in their 40s, in their 50s, 60s. New job. I need to build a social network from scratch. So here she's referring to let go of the idea of our old life, our old self, how our life, ourself is supposed to be, to die over and over. Every moment when there are these changes, we're a new person, our life is anew. For many people, the greatest fear is to be displaced from their hometown or from their old job or from their way of life that they cherished very much. But it's inevitable. Even if we are never displaced from our hometown, like many refugees, our physical deterioration will displace us from our old life. It's inevitable. In fact, it's actually happening all the time. All the time. We're just pretending that it's not happening. We're just kind of closing our eyes. Just sit tight in the little middle of the bird's nest and just hope for the best. When all the sticks are already kind of getting loose and it's ready to just collapse. But actually, this is not the problem. This is the reality. And if we can let go of the idea that it was like that, my life was like that, and I want to go back to that moment, I want to go back to that way, then we can live this new moment that's brand new and live it fully, fully. This moment that's brand new is all yours, all yours. No one's taking anything from you. There's nothing missing. It's brand new. If we can unlearn the habit of judging this moment by comparing it with the should, our idea, or how ourselves, our life is supposed to be, and only find what is happening unsatisfactory. If we unlearn that and don't realize no man's land we are on, moment after moment, every moment, willing to die over and over and over again. Whatever happens, it's not a problem. So I hope this will help you in your practice with the world that is blessing us with many opportunities to practice. So like many of you had mentioned, very blessed and much to be grateful indeed.